22. The fight left both Scotsmen exhausted. Kyle's burly frame heaved with each breath. His flaming red hair was matted with sweat. Leslie seemed to be in as bad or worse shape. His slightly smaller frame heaved every bit as violently as Kyle's, and his slightly less red hair was just as matted. The fight was over, but the hostility was not. The two men stood, grasping each other's shoulders, supporting one another, but whenever one of them managed to regain some strength, they would use it to shove, insult, or on one occasion, pinch the other.
Enough!
Jock, their leader, an imposing mass of blonde hair, thick muscle, and woolen clothing, shouted.
This was good fun at first, but it's gone on far too long. After you volunteered so bravely and fought side by side so valiantly, it makes me sick to see the way you've embarrassed yourselves and your families by not only fighting each other in front of these ladies who saved us, but by doing it so badly.
Kyle and Leslie turned to face Britt and Gwen, but still kept an arm around each other's shoulders for support.
He's right,
Kyle said.
We've behaved shamefully. I hope you can forgive us.
Agreed, Leslie said. It's been a pitiful display, and one of which we are not proud.
Gwen said, it's all right. Leslie said,
you're kind. Far too kind. But the idea that you had to witness us grappling in the dirt grieves me to no end.
And the language we used, Kyle said. Words that should never be said in the vicinity of any lady, let alone two ladies to whom we owe our lives. It'll pain me to my dying day.
Britt said,
the important thing is that it's over now.
Kyle said,
true, good woman, true. It's for the best that you'll no longer be subjected to the undignified spectacle of me losing my temper over my supposed friend's unfaithful nature.
Aye, Leslie said, and we can all be happy that your delicate ladylike ears will no longer be sullied by my lifelong mate's pitiful squealing as I grind his face into the dirt.
And with that, the fight began anew. Jock said, come, Mungo, let us break the lads up. This serves no purpose.
Indeed.
Mungo reached down with one of his immense man paws and grabbed Leslie by the scruff of the neck, then pulled him away from Kyle. Jock placed himself between the fighting men and pushed Kyle back away from Leslie.
Stop this,
Jock grunted.
This is folly! Can you not see that?
Kyle struggled and strained to break free of Jock's grip, reaching out toward Leslie.
Then let me go, Jock, and I promise to end it quickly!
The two of them grappled with each other for several seconds, but Kyle seemed to lose enthusiasm and soon stopped. Mungo laughed as he stood, still holding Leslie by the back of the neck. Leslie did not fight back. Instead, he seemed to simply hang from the larger man's grip in a sort of mellow stupor.
Finally got him under control, Jack?
Mungo asked.
I was afraid I might have to step in and scruff Kyle as well. But I choose to give you a chance. And in time, you finally accomplished what I was able to do with one hand.
Jack said,
you're by far the largest of us, Mungo, and you choose to restrain the smallest of us. Don't act surprised that it required less effort when that was clearly your intention from the start.
Are you doubting my courage, Jock?
Let's just say that I'm not doubting your craftiness, Mungo.
Mungo let go of Leslie and advanced on Jock.
Perhaps I can think of something equally crafty to do with your vertebrae, Jock. Perhaps I'll tie your spine into a necklace for Koira to wear to your funeral.
Leslie quickly snapped out of his stupor and tried to hold Mungo back, but only got dragged behind the larger man. Jock turned and reached for Mungo, despite Kyle's attempts to restrain him. Britt shouted,
stop it!
If we'd known you idiots were going to try to kill each other, we'd have just let the dragons do it instead of saving you.
Totally, Gwen said. It would have been faster, easier, and less embarrassing for your wives.
All four of the men turned toward Britt and Gwen with hurt and anger in their eyes, but stopped, looked at each other, and relaxed. The men all apologized, both to Gwen and Britt and to each other.
Gwen said, "Before you start fighting over which of you is most sorry for fighting, why don't you tell us how you ended up out here by yourselves, fighting so many dragons?"
Jark said,
"We all hail from the same village, a lovely away place called Crib. This morning, Lagan, another of the village folk, came into town telling stories about seeing dragons. Lagan is a mate and a good enough man, but he has the gift of gab and a taste for the drink."
"He gets drunk and makes stuff up," Gwen said.
"Aye,"
Jark said.
"But he doesn't usually lie about anything dangerous. Just his hunting skills and how far he can toss a caber. We decided to send a scout to confirm his story before we did anything drastic."
"And the scout confirmed his story?" asked Britt.
"Aye,"
Gwen said.
"So you did something drastic."
"Aye. The four of us volunteered to hunt and kill the dragons. It only made sense. We're young, brave, able-bodied, and we're experienced fighters who have each squared off many times against equally experienced foes."
"Each other,"
Britt said.
"Aye,"
Jock said.
"We set out straight away and found the dragons with little trouble. But we were not prepared for the dragons' ferocity. And things were looking quite grim indeed, until the two of you saved us."
Jock dropped to one knee and held his sword in front of him, with the point set in the ground so that the hilt formed a cross.
"I thank you for saving my life, and my friends' lives. I thank you not only for us, but for my beloved Quira, and my daughters Effie and Nessa. May they grow to be half the women you are."
Mungo, the largest of the men, followed suit, also dropping to one knee, though doing so merely lowered him to being just slightly below Gwen's and Britt's standing height.
"Aye, and I thank you for my darling Grisel, and for my girls Ginny and Sonog, and my boy Torkel, who will all be told many times of your bravery and strength this day."
Kyle also knelt and said,
"And for Morag and Rut."
Finally, Leslie said,
"And for my betrothed, the lovely Dunolda, whom I cherish more than my own life."
"But not more than Morag, it would seem,"
Kyle said. Leslie remained on bended knee, but turned and looked to Kyle, his long red curls whipping around his angry red face.
"I'm beginning to regret I ever said a word to you about Morag."
"I regret that you ever said any word to me about Morag or anything else,"
Leslie smiled bitterly.
"Well then, perhaps I should let my fist do the talking from now on,"
Britt said, "thank you," in the tone of voice she usually employed to stop Philip when he'd try to explain the plot of Zardos.
"We were happy to help."
Her intervention had the desired effect, temporarily ending the men's back and forth. Gwen recognized what Britt had done. She'd had to perform a similar maneuver more than once when Martin started discussing the career of Bruce Campbell. She continued the diversion, saying,
"Yes, and as much as we hate to leave your charming company, we have to go deal with those dragons before they try to roast someone else."
Jock rose to his feet and asked,
"By deal with, do you mean kill? Is it your intention to hunt down and kill the dragons?"
Gwen said,
"That's the plan."
Jock said,
"If we may ask you to wait just a moment, my friends and I need to talk."
The four men huddled up and engaged in a great deal of impassioned mumbling. Gwen thought she could pick out the names of more than one of the Highlanders' wives and children. This did not surprise her. The men separated. Jock bowed to Gwen and Britt and said,
"We have discussed it, and we all agree that we cannot allow you to face the dragons alone."
Gwen said,
We didn't ask for your permission. We told you what's going to happen.
Of course. I didn't mean to suggest otherwise. Another moment, please.
The Highlanders huddled and muttered again. This time the muttering took on a much more concerned tone. Amongst the mumbling, Gwen picked out different voices saying short sentences containing the name Morog at increasing volume until Jock said,
Enough!
The huddle broke up. Jock said,
I apologize. I put that quite badly. You do not need our permission to do anything, and we wouldn't suggest otherwise. We not only respect women who are independent, some of us greatly prefer it.
Kyle and Leslie both nodded.
Of course, Jock continued, you're perfectly capable of hunting and killing the dragons, but you'll find that trying to do it without us will be more difficult than you think.
Why is that? Britt asked.
Because we're coming with you.
And that'll make killing the dragons more difficult?
Gwen asked.
No. The killing the dragons part should be easier with our help, but the doing it without us part will be well near impossible.
Gwen shook her head.
I'm sorry, but we can't let you come along.
Jock said,
We weren't asking for your permission.
Britt chuckled and muttered, Touché. Jock stepped forward.
You see, ladies, you don't need our help, but I'm afraid that we need to help you. We swore an oath, a sacred oath, sworn to God himself.
Mungo interrupted. Jock continued.
To slay the dragons and keep our families safe, it is our duty. Our sacred duty, conferred upon us by God himself.
Mungo interrupted.
To see it through to the end, no matter how difficult it is,
Jock said, seeing his sentence through to the end, no matter how difficult it was.
It doesn't matter how valiant you two are, or how powerful with magic you may be. It would be a terrible disgrace on all of us to return, saying that we left you to do the dirty work for us. I could never face my sweet Koira again, nor look into the eyes of Effie or Nessa without feeling the shame of it.
Mungo said,
Nay, nor could I ever look at Grisel or Shonag.
All right, fine, Britt said. We get that this is important to you and all of your relatives. But why would you be so ashamed if we did this for you? Is it because we're women?
The men blanched, looking genuinely hurt. Jock said,
I'm sorry, but you don't understand. It's not at all because you're women. It's because you're not us. We have to see this through. We all promised.
Mungo shouted,
Promised God himself?
Okay, yes, all right, Britt said. You promised many people and supernatural entities that we need not list that you would kill the dragons, and you don't want to go back and tell them that you let someone else handle it. Is that right?
Jock smiled and bowed.
That is correct.
Leslie said,
And the fact that your ladies would be a tad embarrassing.
Jock gritted his teeth, bowed more deeply and said,
Would you mind excusing us again?
Britt and Gwen nodded. The Highlanders huddled up again, but instead of talking, they all took turns slapping Leslie on the back of the head. Kyle took several turns.